or you I will accuse. I'll be sitting right up in the chair. Let me give you some advice. I will make it real concise. You say I'll pay the ultimate price. You can put a man on trial, make him walk that extra mile, but you can't hang the same man twice.
You can't hang the same man twice. And I'm waiting for Gene to show up here. Yeah, you know, he sent me 14 messages about making sure I was confirming his visit. I'm exaggerating a little
bit. Good morning.
Good morning, Karen Valentine. Welcome to the Winners and Losers program. I'd like to think of another name for it, but I can't do it. It doesn't. This doesn't happen. I don't know. We're thinking about Spain.
You can't hang the same man twice.
Yeah, that may or may not be true. Anyway, I think the thesis of Gene's play is that if he came back again, John Brown, that is, they'd probably kill him again. But you know, but
yeah. Anyway. Some of them you can't even hang once.
I know, you can't get there. Hell, you can't even.
I know.
You can't even find him. You know, have to. I was reading a post by a Trumper yesterday. Mm-hmm. He's some kind of political consultant. Ron Gregory. I thought Ron Gregory was a commerce secretary for Obama, but then I thought he died. But there's another Ron Gregory apparently who's.
I'm sure there are several.
Who Ron says? Gregory's. Look, it's all political. They only, ask Bernie Madoff to put up $10 million, and they told Trump he had to put up $450. See? Anyway, whatever. if you didn't want to get find $450 million, you shouldn't never have accumulated that much. You know, it would have been less.
Or paid your taxes, or did what you're supposed to do. Or
he talked it down. If he gets elected president, he won't have to pay any of it. I promise you.
I promise you too. We'll be paying it. We'll be paying our
collection to pay Trump's alleged fine. Whatever. Anyway, but Gene, I sent you three invitations. So I guess while we're waiting for Gene, we'll see what happened. I know. Jeez. I wanted to just take an opportunity to say how cool the event for Maria Russo was over at the barn.
Oh, wonderful. I was away on a dog's nip. I did not get to go, but I heard it was
very good.
Was wonderful.
It went well. You know, she came across in charge of herself, which is important. I mean, if you look like you're just, you can't figure out what to say, you're waiting for someone to give you a lead, then you're probably, not really.
No, and
I suppose.
That's not a front. That is who she is. I've known her for a long time, and she's very dedicated, and she seemed
capable. And the thing I liked, I got to tell you, it's just selfish, but the thing I liked best of all was when she went through her list of demands. She started with higher wages. Of course, she's a teacher, so. You know, it probably comes a little natural, but I'll just say that, in the interviews we did at the AFL-CIO, I tried to make it easy for everybody. I thought, at least, maybe I didn't, I don't know. Because I just summarized Liz Shuler's summary of the year of strikes and what those were about. And of course, wages, pension and benefits, and staffing were the top three issues, jobs.
Right.
So, and I thought that was a pretty good tip as to you know, if someone wanted to say what they were about, that they might include wages, benefits,
sure,
jobs. And damn it if she did, you know, and she did not do that in her first pitch. Actually, nobody did. Nobody scored public on that. But on the other hand, when she spoke at the Friday, you know, she put that at the top of the list, and I just thought that was wonderful.
Was there a good turnout?
Yeah, I'd say there was probably maybe 60, 70 in the room. It was pretty filled up.
Yeah, that's great. I just love it. I love the energy. It's good. If I didn't believe in these people, I wouldn't say it. But
no,
I've seen her
job.
At work, and she's she sticks with it. She has some go-to about her, and I admire that.
And then we had Troy Miller on the Labor Beat show on Tuesday.
Okay.
And I liked him.
I haven't met him yet, so I don't have a frame of reference.
He's on the Democratic, whatever it is, executive committee, and I think he works in media in D.C. I think that's what his job was.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I'm probably mischaracterizing it a little bit. But he's thinking hard about that. But however, you know, I ask people, how are you going to pay for, we want higher wages for teachers. How are you going to pay for it? And I hear cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that'll make up the difference. I don't think it will. I mean, I'm I'm not against legal. I'm totally in favor of legalizing weed, you know, and I'm sure it will provide some income, but
in West Virginia, that's not an immediate solution because that's going to take a while.
It might, but you might be able to, I don't know, you could probably flip half the Republicans are stoned when they go to in there anyway. I'm sure they are. So, you know,
the other half should be stoned.
Yeah. Well, the other half needs a little more. Yeah. Right. You know,
and like, I mean a different type of stone.
Yeah, like
to be
Jackson
stoned
around
in the old fashioned sense of the word stone.
That's like when Jackson Brown, you know, was singing, doing his cover of the Cocaine Blues. And he would say, well, I just can't tell whether the point of the blues is that I should take more of it or less of it, you know. And then, of course, when he gave it up, I don't know, a few years later, most of them hopefully did. But anyway, he said, well, I decided less of it, and I'm not going to play that song anymore. Anyway,
great.
I thought that, that's not economic development. Not going to work. And then there's the tourism.
It has to be, yeah.
I'm sorry, John Doyle. By the way, he came.
The other thing I wanted to remember to tell you is you should get your hands on a copy of the Observer. It was in my mailbox yesterday, so it must have gotten circulated yesterday. They did a lot. They gave a lot of attention, several pages, to what's happening in Jefferson County. So it's a good read, and I'm not going to speak too much to it because, to be perfectly honest, I need to reread it.
This is on mess at the county commission, you mean?
Absolutely, and expelling members and budget and everything that has been going wrong. So that might help lead us in some sort of direction of understanding the misunderstanding.
Well, if you look at the, I think you could, part of it is just look at the development going along on Flowing Springs Road and 480.
There's another article about that, yeah.
It's big. That means, I assume that ultimately really means is that, one, the zoning change is getting through the county's development thing easily, okay? Because if you go from agricultural land to commercial, right? There has to be a zoning change to do it. Mm-hmm. All right. And it also means that the farmers are, at least the next generation, are bailing out. And the they don't want to farm, or they're mainly family type farms, and you know they're basically surviving. The margins are crappy on family farms. You know, I mean, you'll never meet a family farmer that says he has any money. I mean, that's not always true. I mean, he has capital, land in a certain sense, and you know, but cash.
You have leverage, but you don't have
very tough. Yeah. And if you don't have the agricultural tax subsidy or what do you call it, cut, you know, you can't do it at all. I'm sure it's just, but you can see that they're selling out. And so then you have these big housing developments. Who's going to, that's a lot of infrastructure costs for sewer, water, security, education, healthcare. I mean, there's an impact, right? They're supposed to have impact fees. And my understanding is that the Dan Ryans, they spend all of their political money lobbying, so they don't have to pay any of those up front.
Well, and you just answered the question, who's going to pay higher wages? And it, you know, in a just world, it would be the builders that are coming in. And you know, the conglomerates, what they tried to do, you know, years ago with the individual impact fees. I mean, at one point, they were up to like 14,000, 17,000 or something for just a single person that was trying to build their own house. And that's not what impact fees are supposed to, that's not the goal of impact fees. Impact fees is to, you know, curb development, have it be a process that is responsible and well thought out. And that the builders that are, you know, changing the landscape and requiring a lot of extra utilities are paying their fair dues with that. And that's where I think kind of way back we got it wrong in Jefferson County on impact fees. And now it's such a bad word. And even people that would be for the builders paying a great share of impact fees kind of vote against impact fees because they don't understand, you know, because we did in Jefferson County impose really strict impact fees on individuals at one point, and that kind of gave it a bad name.
Well, I mean, but on the other hand, if you have some big development come in and they're like 25, 40, 50 families, and they each have two kids, that's, you know, 100 people added to the school system. And, I mean, so, you know, these things get factored, right? And that's all costs. And if you didn't do anything up front about the property development to help fund that, then, you know, all of a sudden the amount the county is spending per student drops.
Of course.
You know,
should be imposed, but they should be imposed on a large scale.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
On the other hand, so that's property taxes. Also, the towns, I think, are able to levy a 1% sales tax. I don't think the county doesn't have any sales tax, I don't believe. I don't think they have the authority to have one. I think there are two ways to raise taxes: are property, and they can bond if they have what is it? 4 out of 5 commissioners approve it, and it's got to go through all these hoops. So, when it's really, there's a lot of limits on its county's ability to borrow money. I think I'm going to sneeze. Hold on. And then maybe it'll go away. So that leaves the property tax is the only really way for the county to raise money independent of the state or the federal government. So, you know, who can pay those kind of taxes? Well, if you that would be large corporations like manufacturing, other whatever. If you had a big, if Amazon was building this thing here, okay, you'd have right. wealth that you can tax. But the minute you go to the state, the people of West, and you try to draw in from the tax revenues of the state, the people of West Virginia, they're too poor to tax. If you try to tax them, you're going to just hand a big banana to the fascists and right-wingers, and they're going to split the whole thing right down the middle. And you won't be able to do anything. So that the state could levy a sales tax to help pay for, I'm talking about right now, really, a simple problem, the difference in the quality of education in Jefferson County versus Loudoun in Washington County as a result of paying the teachers $15,000 to $25,000 less per year here. Just that problem, okay? I don't think pot will pay for that difference, okay? I mean, it would help if the state agreed, even if they collected it, to spend it on education, public education.
That's where I'm doubtful.
That's another big question, right? You know, would it even go there?
That's why I was saying that plan would take a really long time. Is it, you know, it would certainly contribute to paying for it, but it would, that would take a long time.
So that's not there. So I don't see where the money comes from. The only wealth the state really has is natural resources. That's what it has. It doesn't have anything else.
Tourism.
And there's nothing else to tax.
I have been having that, making that point since I was on the board of the CVB. Well, not the board, but I was a member of the CVB and attending meetings statewide. And that was 15 years ago, just trying to get people to understand the value of our natural resources, and the beauty that, you know, capturing on the monetary value of the beauty of the state. And I read an article recently that was a bit saddening, and I literally only made it through the headline in the first paragraph because I didn't want to go down that rabbit hole in my mind. Is that boomers are leaving Florida and coming to Appalachia to find their bliss now.
Well,
and I just thought, oh no.
I don't think there's any way to do it besides taxing by taking over the wealth of oil, gas, geothermal, all the energy projects. There's no, I don't think there's any other source of money.
I agree.
And the only way you do that is to change the basic, some of the basic contracts that you got with, you know, for example, out-of-state ownership of mineral rights. You know, one of the problems that happens is that if the owner of mineral rights is out of state and you want to tax them differently, then, for example, you want to have a higher tax rate on the property that whoever owns the coal mines, then over a local property owner, that's unconstitutional, at least unless you get some exception, because the Commerce Clause of the Constitution says exactly that you can't do that, okay? You can't charge a California property owner more than you charge a West Virginia. West Virginia. But there's been lots of exceptions around the country to that over the years, so I don't see why it's impossible to make one here. But the other issue really is there's no other way out of the curse of natural resources, okay, except what Norway did. That there isn't any other way. If you don't get control of it, it will control and impoverish you. Because the private owners don't care anything about except extraction. Now, when the state took over, they basically nationalized and then sold off again operational businesses to privately operate the oil business right in Norway, off the North Sea oil. And they used all the profits went into a sovereign wealth fund that the state controls, okay? and they invested it in education, and they have the best education system, or as good as the best education in the world now. And they used it to develop a green economy internally.
Exactly.
But they used the money, okay? And they ended up not like Libya, you know, not like what happened, you know, in some other places where it just kills you, right?
I mean,
bandits take over it.
I was having the conversation for, you know, like I said, 15 years ago, that we could have both. You can have natural resources and natural beauty and great education. You can do it right. It is possible. And
right.
And it's really sad because West Virginia could have been a beacon for that. I think we're too far. I shouldn't be pessimistic, but politically we're too far just crazy on a radical side that I don't see going back. But I, you know, when I first came here, I was just like, gosh, if this was done right, it could be just a leading example of how you can have vast natural resources and
not
and
be cursed.
but you can profit on both.
That's right.
You know, both of them have profitability, and that's where you know we've had the disconnect is that, you know, the natural beauty is very profitable as well, and if you do them both right, you know, then we would have been way ahead of the game.
Yeah.
But
I think you have to you have to take on the coal, and the only way to take on the coal industry, I'll tell you right now, in my view, is you have to have the mine workers on your side. And also all the trades that are involved. If you don't have them on your side, you know, you're trying to run a race with only one leg. I mean, it's just if you do have them on your side, then the energy companies have to listen. They have to, okay? Because otherwise, the work does not get done. And that's why I keep asking some of the candidates, you know, says, have you gone to visit Cecil Roberts? He's a member of the Blue Green Alliance, okay? He wants a way out as long as there's a just transition, but he has a very specific idea what a just transition is, you know, and I'm sure it's a very similar idea to what his members think. You know, and that is that, you know, you can't leave anybody behind. But, you know, if you work together, if you found a way, you know, to put it together so that you could say, look, let's do a Norway, you know, we need do a Norway here and find the path to get that done. And then if you had unity, you could develop some unity. I tell you right now, if the coal miners came out and on a solid program, it would turn tens of thousands of people in the right direction and away from all this all the distractions of the Trumpism and all the other garbage going on that the churches are doing. I mean, those kind of things, right?
I know.
It would help.
It would.
I'm setting that as a project, really. I think when I go to the next meeting now, if I can get there, I've been too blind to drive, I'm going to try to set that
Zach
up.
Zach Shrewsbury would be good at that.
Yeah, I suggested that he go do that. I don't think he's done it yet.
I think he's pretty busy.
Busy. But that would be an important visit to make. I suggested that to that woman, what was her name, Cynthia, that was ran from Morgantown a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
She was smart, had a PhD in something, you know, and she had a science, but she didn't do it. You know. And
it probably seems impenetrable, but it would be a good idea.
I mean, you know, but why not go talk? You know, so what if you don't, what if you don't reach an agreement, okay? So what if there's things that Cecil wants that you can't do, you don't want to do, whatever. So what? You got a relationship, you understand where people are coming from.
Well, you started the conversation.
You started a conversation. And, you know, if you can find common ground, you can knock these Trumpers down. You know, but you got to find it somehow.
Yeah. And you can't give in to, they're not going to change. That's, I think, what a lot of people have done. Yeah. That's a big task, though.
It's a little dispiriting, but I know. But you got a lot of, you know, I was, for example, I remember when we were at the council, one of the people on the council is with the IVW, and they're waiting on the jobs, right? Or they're hanging their hopes on the jobs that the Arch 2 project, right, is going to generate, which could be a lot. 18,000 trades jobs. That's quite a bit. You know, so... but it involves concessions to Bill Gates' plans to build these thorium nuclear reactors where the abandoned coal mines are.
Right.
And at least that's part of the deal that would be, that would create jobs forever, basically. Okay. And so, for example, you know, right there, you got, if you build a movement to not do that, which I'm sure JB would like to join, no, just for example, forget it. You're going to have the labor movement divided. And if the labor movement's divided, it's not doing anything. Doesn't have any power at all if it's divided. If it's not divided, it has considerable power. But, you know, so you can't unite on, we'll shut down, we won't let anything like that happen. Okay, that's not the basis. What you could unite on is, if it happens and we make money out of it, who gets the money? Happens to the well? What happens? Okay, so that, because if the people don't benefit directly from it, if it's just another energy extraction project, then it won't end up any different than the coal industry for the past 100 years. You know,
of course,
somebody else will make billions of dollars,
and we'll still matter what the natural resources,
and we'll still be too poor to tax. So, Jesus, I don't know.
It's the conundrum of I wish we could learn from others and learn from our mistakes. It seems like an age-old idea.
Yeah, right. I know. Well, it's interesting. You know, Carol and I have been listening to this great course on Prime, Amazon Prime, with History of Spain, because we're going over to Spain. And man, I mean, it's, well, you know, it's like one of those things, you know, you know, when you were in high school, or, you know, I don't think, did I take a history courses in college? I really didn't, actually, no. But anyway, you hear some outline of history about Spain and 1492 and Ferdinand and Isabella. But other than that, you know, until you get to the Spanish Civil War and all that stuff, it's very, very difficult. But turns out that, you know, the mixture of Islam, Muslim, Christian, and pagan, I suppose, what the church would call it, types of influences from the Goths that came in, right, and then what was left of Rome, which is the Roman Church. That's and most of what's left of Rome's traditions of their empire, its method of collecting taxes and imposing fees, and having, you know, a very organized, you know, centralized operation going on, right. That all came, that was all just hand, the church was what was left with that. Everybody else was sort of like the, and then of course along came the Islamic things, and they were a little bit like the church, except they had more tendencies to split into factions for some reason. I mean, partly it had to do with how do you, if one guy ends up being the emir or the king, how do you handle the succession? How do you, if he dies, then what? Or, you know, as a lot of times, if he had a wife that was like clever and you know, smart, right, and able to say, oh, well, rather than have a head hacking, you know, exercise to decide who gets to rule next, I'll rule, you know, until my son is old enough to be, you know, put a crown on his head or some shit like that. And that happened like a number of times.
Right.
But there was no such tradition of very difficult amongst the in the Islamic, because Muhammad didn't really like the idea of primogeniture. You know, he didn't like it. I mean, he thought that was there wasn't anything in the Bible about that or something. There wasn't anything in the original stuff about that or in his vision that he had when Gabriel came to visit him one night.
Well, speaking of that, when you travel, are you going to be taking with you a Trump Bible just to study?
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Carry along with you
yeah,
to feel safe in your travels?
Every night, yes, right. Keep the Trump Bible on my side. Yeah, right. Jesus Christ.
That's all I could think about when you were talking about the different religions.
Oh, man, the Trump Bible. Well,
yeah, I have to get one for you before you and Carol take off, so that you are well.
How much is he charging for?
You have your guardian watching over you.
How much is he charging for them?
They're only $60, John.
I don't know whether $60. It's right to contribute to his, you know, campaign. What if I told my friends, all my comedy friends about that? I mean, they'd probably have me shot, you know, so.
Well, on that note, I'm going to Bon Voyage off to my Friday morning animals.
I don't know what happened to Gene. Did he send me an email of any kind?
I mean, Gene is okay.
I thought I had the date right. I heard from, he sent me a mail yesterday.
That's very strange.
Uh-oh. Could be, well, he's, you know, over the age of 70, and so.
Maybe he just slept in.
Yeah, you know, just, I don't know. He never.
It's a chilly morning.
It's a chilly morning, is it? Okay, whatever. We'll see what happened. Yeah. I don't know. I played his song, the opening of Don't Hang Him Again.
I know. That sounds great. I hope he comes back on, because I want to
hear
about.
Okay, well, we'll get him back if he can. I think the production. They're doing this in the middle of April.
Okay.
At least one of them up at the Kennedy Farmhouse. Is that what they call it? The Kennedy Farm? Where John Brown.
Okay.
So over on the Maryland side, right? Yeah.
Yes,
all right.
Yes, I will keep.
Well, have a great day.
For that.
And you guys, are you coming over tomorrow sometime?
I will see you and Carol and Lukey and Sorcia tomorrow.
All right. Okay. Well,
okay,
take care, everybody.
Day.
It's late, but everything comes next. Bye-bye.